As one of the authors of The Complete World of Sports Abridged, why don't we write more plays about sports, Lauren Gunderson?
Well, I mean, in some ways, sport and theater compete, and not in the obvious way of like, oh, you could be watching a game instead of watching a show. It's because sport is really good at drama.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 973, Writing Billie Jean. Our friend Lauren Gunderson's new play, Billie Jean, about tennis and civil rights legend Billie Jean King, had its world premiere last Thursday night at Chicago Shakespeare Theater, and it's a bit of a miracle, really. It's epic and Shakespearean in scope, historically expansive, yet deeply, profoundly moving. Lauren and I talked last week about how the similarities between theater and sports informed her terrific new play.
And it sort of outdoes us sometimes because
it's really happening. It's not pretend happening.
Watching a championship, I'm a baseball fan. And so, you know, watching the World Series, it is so dramatic. You know exactly, like, good guys, bad guys. You know the stakes. You know when it's over. You know the win. You know that last minute, like, countdown on the clock or whatever. And so there is this inherent drama that it is like, it sort of outdoes us sometimes. Now, a very different kind of drama than if we're looking for, you know, a Midsummer or a Hamlet comparison is not really helpful there. But I think that feeling is what we wanted to try to do with Billie Jean, is to get the approximation in terms of a sort of cartoonish rendition of a sport, but to go, where is sport and theater shaking hands? And that is its emotionality and the sense of the stakes for the individual person, not the viewers as much, but for what is it costing Billie Jean or Rosie Casals or Althea Gibson to do what they're doing? And then checking in with them before and after these exquisite shows of really choreography. Our amazing choreographer and movement director, Steph Paul, who's a Chicagoan, by the way, she has done this incredible feat of athleticism, but it's art. We want to say we don't have rackets and balls and pretending to, you know, grunt and stuff. It is snapshots of the form that looks like, you know, the swan-like extension for a backhand. And that's the stuff where I think theater says, I am ready for this task. I have all the tools I need to accomplish this. And so that's what we thought we could do with tennis in particular.
Well, that's amazing too, because I hadn't thought about that, about tennis, because I it's funny, my partner Reed Martin and I go back and forth about baseball because he loves baseball, and baseball for me is a little bit like opera. I appreciate it, but I don't care for it. But if they didn't have baseball, they'd have to invent it, because it's such a great metaphor. It's such a great a driver of story and the thing you're talking about, emotion. But it's now occurring to me that tennis is similar. There's less of a team aspect and more of an individual, character-based, character-driven kind of thing. Is that what drew you to, or is that something you discovered in writing about this heroic woman, Billie Jean King?
Yeah, I sort of discovered writing it. I mean, I honestly, sort of assumed that her story was largely about singles, and so much of her incredible moments of sort of obvious recognizable impact, like the Riggs match, the Battle of the Sexes, were her alone on that court. But her favorite thing was doubles. And so she always talks about the team. She always prefers mixed doubles or doubles. And world team tennis is the thing she invented to do that together. Yeah. And so it's sort of both, but even doubles is just two. So that we can stage. It's hard to put a baseball team. It's hard to put a football team on stage. But tennis, we can approximate the actual sport. And maybe that's the answer to your first question, is sort of why is there not as many sports plays, is because to approximate, to theatricalize the event of the sport, the actual sport itself, some sports just don't really fit on the stage in the same way that tennis can, or golf, you could probably do it because it's a more singular focus.
Right.
Certain kind of races you could probably do in some way. I don't know how, but this is why you hire Steph Paul and Mark Bruni as the director, and they'll figure it out. But it's the singularity, the sort of tighter focus on those players.
Well, and I'm thinking of the play The Wolves,
which also features all female athletes, and in a way that's incredibly powerful and focused and contained within the frame of the proscenium.
Yes, exactly. That's probably the best sports play we actually have is that one.
How did this come to you?
It was a commercial producer who wanted to tell this story. This is sort of her dream, is to tell Billie Jean's story on stage. And so came to me, and after a couple conversations, but all she had to say was Billie Jean King and theater. And I said, yes. Yeah. Because I, of course, know Billie Jean as an activist, a feminist, a queer icon. And I didn't know as much about her wife, and the learning their love story, their struggle, their incredible achievement as activists and entrepreneurs. It was just, you know, the yeses just continued and continued after that. But truly, writing it even before Shakespeare, Chicago Shakes was involved, it felt like a Shakespearean character. It felt like the kind of scope and passion and drive and cost that our dear Will loves to write and knows makes a great hero. And the imperfection of them and the struggle for self-recognition and the fight as self, as well as the fight with the world or kingdoms or something. And that's what Billie Jean was all about, is her historian contains all of that. So it felt very much like a thrill, but also like a big challenge. And certainly I know you feel the same as an artist. Like, that's what we love, thrill and challenge. Let's go. Let's do it.
Well, I love that idea. Now I'm thinking of Wimbledon as Agincourt.
There you go. Yes. Yes. This wouldn't know.
Yeah. I mean, it is the rise and fall of Queen Billie Jean. Exactly, not even the fall. Not even. There's been no fall.
Rise, fall, rise.
Rise, fall, rise. Yeah. The great W, the W. Of course, what a great idea for this producer to come to you. And do you find any parallels in your previous plays with the story of Billie Jean?
That's a great question. I mean, there is a bit of Book of Will in it, in the community required to do a great thing. And in fact, Billie Jean, the person, when we had given her various drafts to sort of, you know, get her eyes on and make sure that she, you know, saw things as we were developing it, that's one of the things that she kept correcting, was anytime I would say, you know, when I won this or I achieved this, she would say, no, it's a we. We did this, we won, we achieved, we got this, you know, bill passed or the WTA passed. So it is that the we of it and the community of it and all the people and all of their various talents and ways of supporting her or challenging her that really complete the story. So Book of Will has similarities, but of course, so much of my work is about women in history.
Sure.
A lot of them, you know, overlooked, and Billie Jean is certainly not overlooked. So that was very different. But to find the moments of change and decision, and honing in on those, that's the drama, right? The moment an idea occurs, the moment a confession bubbles out, the moment that a reality has to be dealt with and met, that curation I'm very familiar with, because that is very much how to write a history play, how to write a science play, how to write those moments in time.
Does the play focus on her life, on her whole life, or does it focus on a specific episode?
Yeah, we go from her first time stepping on a court at about 13 to this moment sort of now. There's a bit of a fast forward at the end, but we sort of end with that grand moment of the U.S. Open Tennis Center being named in her honor. Yeah. Everything in between. So that includes all of her early triumphs. Battle of the Sexes is our intermission. So we get a big sort of question mark and see her like, I have to do this, blackout. Then we go through a lot of her personal struggle. So the first act is really about her struggle her recognition of inequality and injustice, and then seeing what she can do when she wins. As a winner, you get to talk about these things and start to change things. She's starting to fight for everyone, fight for women athletes and beyond. And then act two is really her fight for herself, which starts with a recognition of who I am and what I need and what I want, and being brave enough to finally stand up and say those things, both publicly, but more importantly to the people you love. So it sort of culminates in her coming out to her parents Even after she, you know, knows about it herself, and of course some of her community knows, but it really is so fight for the world and then fight for self, which of course is fighting for the world, because if she is a model of self-empowerment and acknowledgement and queer pride, then that helps so many others find their truth. And actually, so we have this, what's also special cool is we have an original Brandi Carlile song that Brandi wrote for Billie Jean. And so when we were getting this play up, they mentioned it. And I was like, sorry, you just have an unreleased Brandi Carlile song about you. Can I listen? They were so generous. And we asked the Carlile team if we could use it. And they were very generous to let us. But the idea of it's extra meaningful because Carlile says that Billie Jean came out at 50 so that she, Brandi Carlile, could come out at 15. And that's right. The legacy impact and self. And like what I mean when I say when you fight for yourself and you are true to yourself, you will be doing that for other people who need a model and need an example.
This is Peter Finch with KGO Radio in San Francisco. You're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall of 2025, we'll be touring all the great books abridged at various venues we'll announce soon, and the Ultimate Christmas Show abridged in Washington State at the Edmonds Center for the Arts on December 3rd and the Capitol Theater in Yakima on December 12th. Sign up for our newsletter or check out the touring page at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Lauren Gunderson, talking about her new play, Billie Jean, now having its world premiere at Chicago Shakespeare Theater. I wondered about the music because, of course, I was going, well, will it include any music from Michael Jackson or...
None of that. I don't know.
Or Elton John.
Absolutely, Elton John, of course. Of course. Yeah. Yes, yeah. We recognize. We you're going to get your Philadelphia Freedom, for sure.
Excellent, excellent. And I love... Well, two things. I joked about Agincourt earlier, but, of course, Henry V actually has tennis loved balls... It. On the stage, and uses the court. Henry V uses the word court as a pun about how he will vanquish the French. And I imagine that it's metaphor tennis. Is right there for you as well.
Yes. Well, and what's funny is, so one of our actors, Courtney Ricky Green, is amazing. She was in the Henry V that I saw recently here. And so when we cast her, I saw her Instagram post about her being cast. And she said, Chicago shakes and plays with tennis balls. And that's what I do, apparently. So
she was Catherine, right? She was amazing. I met her afterwards. She's so good.
She plays, there's a sort of chorus element built in, but she plays Althea Gibson, and she plays a couple different characters, and notably Venus Williams as well.
I love that Billie Jean kept correcting the pronouns of I to we, because I just interviewed Daniel Pollack Pelsner about his biography of Lin-Manuel Miranda, where he says, artistic genius is a team sport.
That's it. Yes. Well, Billie Jean has a very similar quote where she says change is a team sport. So yes, it is.
Yeah. And tennis, you don't think of it as being a team sport, and you don't think of artistic genius as a team sport, but of course it is. No man is an island, no woman's an island. None of us are alone.
Well, and certainly like for new plays, as you know, I mean, it's the best idea in the room, and it's not about credit for those ideas. It's about how it blends and flows with the structure that I've set up as a playwright, the vision that the director has, you know, our set design impacts how people come and go into a scene. And so it really is. There's nothing anyone does alone in the theater, not on any part of it.
How long has this been gestating?
Hilariously, it's very quickly. I got the assignment just about a year ago.
Yeah.
So we are.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
And what's great is, I mean, theater is sort of notoriously slow, but this one has been really fast because we have a producer who wants this and is so excited and is putting the money in to do workshop after workshop after workshop after workshop, which is just thrilling. That's how I want to make theater, because it feels so relevant now. We have you know, women in sports, very relevant right now. Queer rights, women's rights, trans rights, so many of that is built into the history of our subject and a part of the play. It's like, of course, if we wait even a couple months, we have a chance to meet the moment. And I mean, this play will be timeless in a lot of ways, and unfortunately, relevance. And as our administration does what it does for queer people and women, and you know, all humans that are decent, but you know, there is a moment right now to have a community be seen and to champion this story because it champions them.
Well, and the best theater is all about being in the moment. So I love the idea that it's not gestating over years. It's happening. It's moving at the pace theater should move at, you know, right. Not glacially.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's just, it's amazing to feel like we can get it to, well, especially this town. I mean, Chicago is, God, I love this town. It is so, it's so wonderful. It's so full of energy and humanity and diversity and art. And it's just, you're very lucky to live here and make theater here. So to be able to do this show in this space, even for the limited time that we're here, is it's teaching us what we need to know about the show. And sort of like, if you can reach Chicago audiences, you've got something special, because y'all are so smart, so dedicated to the, you see a lot of it. So it's not, you're not going to be impressed by just, oh, look, shiny lights. Like, it's going to be something that, that resonates with a really savvy audience. So we're lucky we're getting good feedback right now.
I can't wait to see the play tonight.
Are you going
to
be here tonight?
I'll be there tonight. Yeah.
Good. Okay, so we will get to like at least hug and high five. And
yeah, stuff. For sure. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. The world premiere of Lauren Gunderson's new play, Billie Jean, runs at Chicago Shakespeare Theater through August 10th, 2025. Go to chicagoshakes.com for more information. I hadn't seen Billie Jean when I spoke with Lauren last week, so fingers crossed she and I can have another more nuts and bolts in-depth conversation now that I have. Send us your off-court puns via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to Double Fault Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Mary Lemming Connor. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Peter Finch from KGO Radio in San Francisco. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 973, 2919th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. You talk about Chicago audiences, which takes us back to the thing you were saying at the very beginning about how sport and theater compete. And the best audiences are San Francisco, Chicago, Boston, that I've played, where yeah. They've got dominant teams and audiences that go to both the games and the plays.
Right. That's right. Go Giants. Well, we do have some baseball jokes because I couldn't help it in the play as well. So I get my preferred sport. I mean, I love tennis very much, but baseball is my home sport. So I had to like squeeze in some
baseball jokes. Oh, you mean the White Sox?
Hey.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.